It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have Aphrodite!
Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rumble, Band.video, Vigilante TV, now back on YouTube, or you are listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate your amazing and continued support. Thanks. We crossed 10 million downloads. That's a pretty big deal. I appreciate it. Hopefully you guys have all rated the show. Give me 5 stars if you think I've earned it. And check out our sponsors. My goodness, I swear to you, the sponsors are actually here for a reason. If done correctly, everybody wins. They sell a product, you buy a product with a discount, I get a commission. It's fantastic. That's why I've got to have the right fit. Chemical-Free Body's been with me from the beginning. I know Tim James very well. He's a great dude. He saved his life by changing his diet, and he is committed to helping you do the same thing. You can get chemical-free body products and know that the quality is going to be the highest out there. They actually work. Try the 90-day detox bundle. It's fantastic. I've done it twice. You'll love it. It's just Green 85 in the morning, and you take a handful of capsules. That's really it. And if you're committed to doing that for 90 days, you will see results. I promise you. But you got to do it. You have to make the decision. Go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro. Go do some shopping. Take a look around. The link is down in the show notes as well. I strongly advise you to check out the Water Hero. It's a system, a structured water system. You can get it in a pitcher format, like a Brita pitcher. You can get it a device that connects onto your plumbing itself. You have a plumber come out and fix that and set it up. You can have structured water in your home. So check it out. Go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro and do some shopping. See what you think. Also, our friends over at Legal Shield have been doing this for 50 years in the United States and Canada. They know what they're doing. They'll get you access to an attorney for $1 a day, which is very reasonable. The reason why they're able to do this is because they pool everybody together and then use the buying power of the group to get the rates down to a reasonable amount. So it's not like you're getting discount lawyers that don't know what they're doing. You're getting lawyers that have, on average, 22 years of experience, and they know exactly what they're doing. It's just that because of everybody's group buying power, we're able to get the price down very low. So if you don't have a last will and testament, you got to get one. If you don't have a medical directive, when you get in a hospital, they don't know what to do to you. They don't know what they can and can't do to you. You've got to have that in advance of going in the hospital, obviously. And get your power of attorney, get your financial power of attorney, right? Get all that stuff in the event that you are incapacitated. Hopefully this doesn't happen. It's one of those things that if you've done it in advance, when the time comes and you need it, you're super grateful that you had the foresight to do it. If you're sitting in a hospital bed, that's not the time to do this. So let's be proactive. Go to don'tgetpushedaround.com. That's the website they built specifically for us. I promise you it's the easiest thing you can do to sign up with Legal Shield. It's $30 a month. You get an app on your phone. You just touch a couple buttons and it'll connect you to somebody in your area, the attorney, and then they'll contact you the next day and you guys set it up. So it's the smartest thing you do. It's the best money you'll spend. Go to don'tgetpushedaround.com. Check it out for yourself. Don't take my word for it. They've been doing it for 50 plus years. They know what they're doing. So, all right, let's talk about what's going on out there in the world. The leftists are angry. Did you know that? Did you get the memo? Oh, they're angry about kings. There's just so many kings out there. They don't even know. They're shaking their fist at the sky. There's just all these kings out there. You know what's weird is that if you lived in a society that actually had kings, they wouldn't let you go out there and protest. So that it just immediately is the automatic, like, hard to take you guys seriously. You're out here protesting against kings. I don't really know who you're talking about. You're going to have to be more specific. Of course, in the countries where they have actual kings, they didn't do no kings protest. You know why? Because the state would come in there and crush you. They did no tyrants protests. And the kings went, okay, you guys can do your no tyrants protest all you want. But when it comes down to actually getting things done, making decisions, we're going to do what we've always done. So, oh no, the kings are out there making this world unlivable. Where were you when Joe Biden was instructing OSHA to fire people, to prevent people from coming into work because they didn't have the vaccines? That sounds like kind of a king-like thing. Were you out in the streets for that? No, you were not. You know why you weren't? Because you're ideologically lost and inconsistent. And this is the frustrating part about it. If you've got a problem with the government and you want to go out there and shake your fist at the sky and scream at it, I get it. Nobody has more problems with the government than me. I get a long list of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. I mean, but the problem that I have with this is not that they're mad, is not that they want change, is none of this. It's that they're ideologically inconsistent every single time you need them to be consistent about things. It's the most frustrating thing to watch. I mean, to watch it, it's mildly annoying. Can you imagine trying to have a debate with one of these people? Imagine trying to convince a leftist that we actually don't have kings, and that their list of complaints, though maybe valid, you're addressing it to the wrong person. I mean, do kings hold elections? Because we went through the whole election stuff with Trump, right, in 2020, when the Biden administration stole it. And they stole it. We know they stole it. And I don't give a shit one way or the other. I have no love for Trump or Biden, right? So I don't care who is installed into office. But the facts are the facts. They stole the election in 2020, period. There were 81 million people that got up and voted for Joe Biden. We know this. So where's the coronation for the king? We had an election in 2020. We had another one in 2024. And now you're protesting about the king? Do kings hold elections? They don't. So what the fuck are we talking about here? These leftists, man. I'll tell you, it's really annoying. But what we're going to do in this episode is I'm not just going to complain about them, though I could. I'm going to escape from mere generalizations, and I'm going to talk about the groups that are actually behind this. I want to talk about the dark money NGOs. I want to talk about Arabella. I want to talk about, I want to get into who financed No Kings 2, Electric Boogaloo. I'll spare you the intrigue there. Yes, George Soros was behind it, but it's much worse than that. And we'll wrap up with sort of the details of who these groups are. And by the way, they're not new. I mean, some of the groups behind this have been around for almost 100 years. So this isn't anything that we're experiencing for the first time. The idea of whipping people up into a frenzy in order to spark some sort of social change has been done for a long time. This is nothing revolutionary. The people who are participating in this are of the belief that they are Che Guevara reincarnated, right? They're just out here standing up for the people and fighting for human rights, you know, like Che Guevara did when he was out murdering homosexuals. But besides that, we won't get bogged down in the details of, you know, actual history and things like that. We're going to talk about not facts, because facts are racist. We're going to talk about our feelings. Let's talk about how I feel. I feel like everything is icky. So I'm going to go out there and stand up for, I'm going to protest against the kings as I march with my Starbucks coffee mug in my hand, my iPhone in my pocket. I'm going to stand up against all these corporations by getting in my car and got to go to the gas station first and get a bunch of gas and then drive to the protest. And then I'm going to post it on Facebook because I'm standing up against the corporations. The entire narrative of this is embarrassing and disjointed. And I feel like it's tough to shame a segment of society who has no shame. This is the point in time where you're supposed to be embarrassed for yourself that you participated in a No Kings rally, the second one. And you're just mystified as to why this change hasn't happened already. I'm sorry. It's tough for me to take you seriously. And the thing that makes it really wild is that the people who are participating in this are intellectually able to see through this. They have the horsepower in their brains to connect dots, to look at, you know, to be reasonable and logical about them. And yet they aren't. Yet they are not. They just choose to be. This is why you see doctors and lawyers and all kinds of people at these rallies. You go, You're a smart person, right? Why are you doing something so stupid when you're supposed to be a smart person? And what you find out is that intellectual horsepower is only a component of this. It's not the whole thing. It's ideologically driven. And I'll tell you, I think we have found the last demographic who still watches corporate news. And that is leftist baby boomers. Because I think that's the only people who are out at the No Kings rally.
Yeah,
we'll get to that. But let's first talk about first of all, let's talk about where the name of this episode came from. I didn't make it up. The network of there's a network of left wing agitators, right? Who can be, let's just say, summoned on demand, right? Seemingly on demand, like Al Qaeda. Database, you know, that's the thing about Al-Qaeda. What is it? It's the base. It translates to the base. And you're like, oh, it's the home base where all these supervillains are located. It's like, yes and no. It's the database. Right? And so we have a version of this in America right now. We have a version of Al-Qaeda. You know, Al-Qaeda was just a mercenary army group that the governments knew they could hire on demand. You know, who gives us the best weapons, the most money, and, you know, pays the leaders at the top, and then we'll be the agitators, you know, for whatever you need. So there's always been that, right? And but this group, you know, this group that's maybe not so much at the No King stuff, but the stuff, the anti-ICE things, they're like, you know, what they don't realize is that they're the brown shirts. I mean, they're quite literally putting the brown in brown shirts, but they don't know that. So it's funny to watch all these people get out in the, especially during the LA ICE riots, all the people standing up, and they're going to fight for these people, these undocumented people who've come across the border by no fault of their own. They illegally came across the border, and they were financially incentivized to do so and coordinated to do so. So I don't know. This isn't, you know, it's not just a bunch of people that were unfairly treated by the government. I have no love for government, clearly. But this is one of these situations where you have a segment, typically young, ideologically motivated. They see the flaws with society and they're mad about it. There's nothing wrong with that. That we all see the flaws with society. We're all mad about it on certain levels. But when you're young, there's a couple things working sort of against you. The first is that you're ideologically driven. When you're young, you're compassionate. You know, you haven't had time to get jaded. And you think that everybody should be treated the right way, you know, should be treated fairly and equally and nicely and all this stuff. And then, and if you witness this not happening, it makes you very angry at how broken the world is. But the problem with being young and angry about this is that you also don't have the perspective. And this sucks when you're young getting told this, because I've been on the receiving end of this, and somebody tells you just don't know what you don't know. It's true, but it's hard to hear because you want to just give the person the middle finger and say, well, you're not living my life, so you don't know what I know. And it's like, I understand. But if you could see things through my eyes, you would know without a doubt that you're walking into a trap. And so if you want to trap yourself, keep doing this stuff. But if you want to be strategic about it, you're going to have to learn what's actually going on. And there are a couple guys out there who are doing outstanding work on this topic. Peter Schweitzer, author of Blood Money, that's a book about China. And his partner on this, Seamus Bruner, they're from a group called Government Accountability Institute. And they describe this group. So what they do is they go around looking at Antifa types. They look at left-wing agitators, you know, that they're called. And they describe this as Riot Incorporated. It's just on-demand domestic terrorism. When you need it, where you need it, when you need a mob of unthinking retards to go out there and throw bricks through windows and tag cars and light things on fire and all that, you bring in the brown shirts. The brown shirts are young. The brown shirts are energetic. The brown shirts are ideologically driven. They're not given all the information, so they're mad, but they don't know why they're mad, or they're mad at the wrong people, or they're mad because they're told to be mad, or they're mad because they're paid to be mad. I mean, there's a variety of reasons why you can find yourself in this. But ultimately what it is it's some people at the very top manipulating angry people who are angry for reasons that are, you know, logical and legitimate. And you whip these people that don't understand the bigger plan. They don't even have to be stupid people. Most of them are, of course, but you don't have to be. You just have to be unsophisticated in terms of what the plan is. And if you do that and allow your nature, let's say you're a good person who sees somebody being treated unfairly and you want to stand up for them, it's a noble trait. Of course, you should want to do that. The problem is that you don't understand the power of the state. You just don't understand what they're willing to do. You think you're going to get out there and explain it all away and reason with the police, and they're going to see it from your eyes, and they're going to go, oh, you're right, we were wrong, we didn't get, thanks for straightening us out. In their minds, that's the way the conversation's going to go. You've seen the videos on social media, the people yelling at the cops and the cops just bear spraying them right in the face. You cannot reason with these people. Don't even think about it. The guards, the goons who are in all of the riot gear, don't even assume that they're human beings. They're not at that point. I've seen the most effective thing I've ever seen was a guy sitting with a megaphone on a hill, and he had a date. He had a fucking list. I don't know how he had it. He had the goods on all of the cops that were standing in line, and he was on a megaphone and he was calling them out by name. He was saying, you know, Sergeant Jenkins down there. How do you feel about your wife cheating on you? How do you know that every time you go to your, you get up and get, go and get in your squad car and go to your work, your wife is bringing some guy in the back door and starts just going to town on these guys one by one. Hey, the officer Jenkins next to you, you fat tub of shit, you know, and just on the megaphone doing this to them. That's the most effective way to do it. Humiliate them, call them out and do it that way. If you're going to go face to face with these guys at a protest, you're going to lose. You have to be strategic about this. And the strategy is to get yourself out of these situations. Don't be anywhere near it. So, but they described, Peter Schweitzer and Seamus Bruner described the group as being the financiers and coordinators of the Permanent Protest Industrial Complex. That's what they call it, which is a great name for it too, because it's just always there, right? Whenever you need agitators, you can go to this group and you can find, you can Crowds on Demand. These things exist. Crowds on Demand is actually a real company. If you've got an album release coming out and you want to pretend like everybody gives a shit like you, you know, like when you're getting off the airplane in New York the first time, like the Beatles, when all the girls were there waiting for the Beatles at the airplane, when they got off of in the tarmac in LaGuardia, they were all paid to be there, by the way, just so you know. So this is kind of how you do it. And so what these guys are talking about is they're saying that the Permanent Protest Industrial Complex is basically billionaires financing protests against billionaires. Right? Sound good? Does it? So when you think of like, what is controlled opposition? This is controlled opposition. This is the textbook definition of it. Right? So, but again, there's also... as if it's not frustrating enough that billionaires are spending their money to finance protests against billionaires, that is annoying and illogical and, you know, kind of funny. But the part that's really frustrating is when taxpayer funds are being spent on these projects. And when I say when they say government funded programs, what that means is that they stole that money from the taxpayers. So I think, again, with terminology, it's important to call, we don't call them public schools anymore. We call them government schools. You know, when it's government financed, that's stealing from the people. That's stolen tax dollars. It's not government financed. It's people financed. The government didn't finance this themselves. They shook, they held us by the ankles, shook the money out of our pockets, gathered that up, and then squandered that. You know, $800,000 on Indonesian pole dancing ceremonies or something. Like, you know, I mean, the amount of money that they've squandered on this stuff is frustrating. And it's one thing if it's billionaires spending money on billionaire projects. But when it's our money, when it's money that could have been going to, I don't know, fix the sewer pipes, bring in fresh drinking water into the city. I don't know. New York City's had the same shitty pipes for 130 years. Why don't you use the money to do something constructive? Build some infrastructure. Whole country's falling apart. You're focused on Starbucks or something, whatever. I don't know. But so the protests are used as the justification to crack down, right? So this is just, you know, specifically on the Antifa idea, you know, as a terror cell. So you get Antifa, you label them as a domestic terrorist organization operating on the homeland, which is a battlefield, and now these guys are legally designated as terrorists, domestic terrorists. It's a bad thing to be in the world of the Patriot Act, when that is not just an insult that you can shake off, that is a legal designation that will put you in a prison cell on the other side of the planet with no access to an attorney, subject to the whims of the American Empire. Do you want to be in a situation like that? No, you do not. Be very careful about cheerleading the designation of Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization, because at some point your church will be deemed a domestic terrorist organization. How do you like that? Because it's coming. All you have to do is say that group over there poses a threat to the establishment. Could be us, the Independent Media Alliance. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about this. We can understand the problem, reaction, solution component of this. You could just walk yourself into it. And of course, the people who are participating, not the controllers at the top, but the pawns, the people who are out there in the street, they're mad about their kings, right? They're mad, you know? What are you getting out of this? This performance, this protest that you're doing? And what it is, I think, is my opinion, but I think a lot of those people want to feel victimized. They don't know how to be anything other than a victim. You see, to take responsibility for your life is a lot of work. And it's way easier to just throw your hands up and say, oh, I didn't have a say. I was a victim. They made me do it. They're making me do all of this stuff. They're the bad guys. Well, maybe. And of course, to be fair, there are some situations where the bad guys make you do things you don't want to do. But is that what's going on here? Because that's not what I think. What I think is it's a lot of people who don't want to take accountability for their own lives, who've fucked themselves up by injecting themselves with poisons or spending 8 years getting a liberal arts degree in 17th century women's literature and then acting surprised when there are no jobs out there for this. Well, what did you think was going to happen? Of course it's easy to blame Donald Trump. I got a long list of things I'm mad at Donald Trump about. But the people who are out there, this is misplaced blame put on Trump. I mean, I don't know what they're mad about exactly. They don't know what they're mad about. That's kind of the point. Have you seen the man on the street, or I don't know if we can use man on the street when interviewing people at a No Kings rally, but the person on the street, let's do that, non-binary, him, her, shim, just average tranny walking down the street protesting. What are you angry about? I mean, what do you want? We want equality. No, you don't. You want revenge. I know the difference. Equality is what the gay community wanted when they were being discriminated against early on, 60s, 70s, 50s, whatever. You know, as it's coming up, the gay community wanted equality. They wanted to be treated equal. And you know what I would say? I think they are. Before the trans component came in, I don't have a problem with gay people. They never bothered me. I never bothered them. I never went out of my way to bother them. They never went out of their way to impose their lifestyle on me. Now, all of a sudden, we have to have tranny story time and everybody's a different gender. And you know what? You might have just pissed off the general public. At some point, the public goes, okay, we're done with this. We're done with the rainbow crosswalks and the month and all the, you guys want a fucking parking spot at the front of the, you know, at the grocery, at the front line of the grocery store too? Because you're gay? Stop. This is embarrassing. Like, you guys should be embarrassed for yourself. So, but this isn't, you know, so the people that are out there marching, what are they mad about? Frankly, I don't even really care. You've done so much complaining about everything that you're the boys or the shims who cried wolf, you know? Oh, everybody's out to get us. We're so persecuted. You're the most protected class in America. What are you talking about? Oh, they're hanging us from the street. No, they're not. None of that's happening. You're envisioning this. You're imagining this whole thing. And that's gaslighting when you tell somebody that they're imagining things that aren't really there. But in this case, it's actually the truth. Trump is not rounding up homosexual people and murdering them. He's not. He's just not. And the idea that he's deporting millions and millions of people. Oh, if only. The thing is, he's not. It's theatrical what he's doing. Because the numbers actually are backwards. Obama deported way more people. So if the left wants to be mad about deportations and unfair treatment of illegals and things like that, and they think that they have a case, take it up with Obama. Because he deported way more of them than Trump ever did. I mean, Trump would love to, don't get me wrong. He just hasn't been able to because they've stopped it. But see, they don't make a big deal about it when the left is doing that. So let's move. Let's talk about the dark money NGOs. Okay, so you're... Imagine being a billionaire. Right? Imagine spending your money on something this retarded, like a No Kings protest, like paying fat people to get mad at the Orange Man. I mean, God damn. I just think that there has to be better things. Like I would take all that money and bet on the Colorado Rockies to win the World Series next year before I would spend it getting the fats all mad at Donald Trump. It just seems like a bad return on investment. But what do I know? I'm not a billionaire. Let's talk about the groups who are involved in this. And they are dishing out a ton of money to, especially to people who are, mad at the Trump and MAGA crew. So here's the groups who are involved in it. Arabella Advisors, you might have heard of them. Obviously, George Soros and his Open Society Foundation. We'll get into that a little bit. Gates Foundation, you know, it's not enough to just depopulate the world with your shitty vaccines. We also have to get the Gates Foundation involved in donating money to NGOs that create riots. So when he's not squirreling away the organic seed population in the Svalbard seed vault in Norway, and when he's not buying all the farmland in America, and when he's not financing vaccines and saying he's going to get a 20-to-1 return on his investment, he's also financing groups that are creating riots around the country. So if you're wondering what Bill Gates is doing right now, he's probably got a bunch of TVs open trying to watch, you know, his work in progress, right? Because the wheels have come off America. This experiment isn't working anymore. We got half the country that can't live with the other half. We've got a ruling class that are parasites, if not, they might even be 100 years old, Nancy Pelosi and this crew still shaking their fists. It's just a deeply unserious country. And these are the people who are behind making it worse. Gates Foundation, Ford Foundation, Tides Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, it's all foundations, right? Singham Network, are you familiar with this guy? Neville Roy Singham, have you heard of that name? He's a Maoist who got run out. He lives in China now. You go live in China. You're a Maoist, you know, that's where you should be. You know, let's make sure you plow the field with your water buffalo the correct way or else it's up against the fucking wall for you, dummy. So these are the guys who are financing this, you know, big city, blue city, Soros installed woke district attorneys like Larry Krasner and Chesa Bowden and Letitia James and Karen Bass and Garcon, all these, the mayors and district attorneys and these big cities. You install them, you know, you put somebody like Karen Bass in and you go, oh, so what? Do they have to have a conversation with Karen Bass and tell her to intentionally fuck everything up? It's like, no. Have you met Karen Bass? Have you listened to Karen Bass talk? You don't have to tell her to go in there and intentionally fuck things up. You just have to tell her to be herself. And destruction will follow. She's a registered communist. Did you know that? She's fucking like a legit one. Went to like events and everything. Karen Bass, mayor of Los Angeles. You know, the lady that made the fires, stopped the fires from, I mean, you know, got in the way so that the fires would be worse. You remember her. This is who they want in charge of these cities, because as long as you've got them in charge of the cities, then you can do whatever you want. But that's in the cities, okay? Don't even think of bringing this nonsense to the country boys. Al-Qaeda doesn't play that shit. Okay, you want to bring a bunch of riots and signs and leftists and trannies to the Appalachians, you will be shot at, and they will dispose of the bodies. Okay, they'll make it look like nobody was there. Don't fuck with those old boys. I spent enough summers in East Tennessee as a kid to know there is a segment of society that is. if you're in, you're in with them. The East Tennessee boys, my grandfather was a grew up there at a 10th grade education, worked at Oak Ridge, right? Seems like he took me on a tour of where he grew up, man. I've been in some of those places. This isn't going to work. You may be able to foment anxiety and chaos in the big cities, but in the woods, they operate under a different code, and thankfully they do. Let's talk about Arevalo Advisors. You're going to hate these people. It's the leading vehicle for funneling dark money to leftist shitbags. How much? Well, in 2023, they lit about $1 billion on fire by supporting morons, Marxists, and nitwits. And they have seven different nonprofit components that they focus on. So this makes up what's known as the Arevalo Advisors Network. This is run by a guy, Eric Kessler is a guy. He runs Arevalo. He's a member of the National Democratic Institute. The Arevalo Advisors is owned by somebody named Jennifer Steens. It's a 501c3 in some respects. Funds are 501c3 organizations. Three of their funds are 504 organizations. So we'll start with the 501c3 new venture fund. There's hundreds of projects in there. You might, if you're reading things moving forward and you ever hear new venture fund, that's Arevalo. Okay. There's Hopewell Fund. This is pro-abortion eugenicists, so, you know, they're on the right side of humanity. The Windward Fund, this is lefty environmentalism. The Telescope Fund, which I assume is to study the cheese on the moon. And then we move into the 501c4 organizations. This is 1630 Fund. This is the one you will definitely hear. It's written as it's spelled out, 1630, not the numbers, fund. This is how it houses most of their big projects. This is where the bulk of their money goes. They have something called the North Fund. This is to pack the Supreme Court with, I suppose, more retards like Ketanji Jackson Brown, whatever her name is. I'm not even going to spend too much time on this, but when she talks, society gets dumber just listening to her ruminate about the way she sees the world. It's quite something to be on the Supreme Court and yet be that fucking dumb. It's something. And then the last is the Impetus Fund. This is the get out the vote horseshit, whatever that is. But the one that you'll know the most is 1630. And so you say, well, who's Arevalo? You know, you said it's owned by Jennifer Steens. So who's that? She doesn't ring a bell. It doesn't ring a bell with me either. And that's not who you really want to look at so much as you want to look at where the money is. Who's kicking in the money? Well, Swiss billionaire Hans-Jørn Wyss, whose company killed people with a test bone cement product. You know, oh well. He sent $265 million to Arevalo. He's very interested in, when he's not murdering people with his products through his company, he wants them to die in the streets for the riots. He's got $265 million to spend just with Arevalo to make sure that they do that. Do you get a tax write-off? I don't know. Probably not. So just to give you an idea of how big this operation is. It's massive. Okay. This isn't like, you know, your local charity that gets together and has a bake sale. In 2015, so 10 years ago, Arevalo's revenue, and by revenue, I mean money that rich people gave them to start chaos, was $332 million 10 years ago. 5 years ago, it was $1.7 billion. Okay, so do you understand? You can do a lot of damage with $1.7 billion, especially if you're going to get another $1 billion the next year and the year after that and the year after that. Their budget for 2023 was $1.3 billion. So you're spending $100 million a month on what? Chaos, false flags, riots, whipping leftists into a frenzy. You don't have to do much. They're already angry. They're already stupid. You just point them in the direction. All you have to do is just whisper in their ear, "Orange man bad," and then just aim them just a little bit in the direction and just send them in there like torpedoes. What do you care? Anyway, all these people got arrested. All these people got shot. What do you care? What do you care if you're Hans Jorn Wyss with your billions of dollars? You just send more money. You say, "Good, I want more people to die. I want more people to be arrested. I want more people to be put up against the wall. I don't care." Chaos is what it is. Chaos sells. So, the Gates Foundation was a big donor, the single largest donor in 2020. They gave $127 million. Don't want to shortchange them. In 2020, you know, when COVID was going off, right? So the Gates Foundation, which is really just, we're just humanitarians out there spreading love and vaccines all over the world. They found time to also sprinkle $127 million in the middle of a pandemic on a group whose entire focus is to create riots. That's Arabella. That's what they do. They create chaos. So, because if there's one thing that 2020 needed, it was more chaos, right? Brought to you by Bill fucking Gates. Who else gave them money? Oh, by the way, let me just quantify a little bit more in terms of what Bill Gates has given them over the years. I said $127 million in 2020. That is true. But since 2008, when they started donating money to Arabella, the Gates Foundation has given them $456 million. Okay, half of $1 billion Bill Gates has given to Arabella for them to create chaos in the streets. Why Bill Gates is walking around is still a mystery to me. And the next time, it shouldn't be a pie in the face. You guys, you leftist shitbags out there all going on and on about the Luigi Mangione and, oh, he was a hero for getting the healthcare CEO and murdering him in broad daylight. Oh, you want to play that game? You want a list of people who should be shot in the streets? It's not just healthcare CEOs, right? We could make a list. We won't do that. That's shitty, all right? Because we don't want people to be, we want them to be held accountable. Well, I'd be willing to make an exception for Bill Gates. I'd be willing to let my morality slide just a tiny bit on that guy to make an example of him for the rest of the world. Who else gave money? Well, Ford Foundation gave Arabella $25 million in 2020. The Gates Jr., Warren Buffett, his best friend, we just play bridge together. You know, we just have a Dairy Queen and we play bridge. We're just harmless old guys that definitely aren't set on depopulation and creating chaos in the streets. How much did Buffett give? $28 million. What about the Rockefeller Foundation? $15 million. What about the Hewlett Foundation? $12 million. What about Zuckerberg? How much did he spend? $50 million. Through Arabella and Tides Foundation, just for No Kings 2, just for that embarrassment, No Kings 2, Zuckerberg lit $50 million on fire for that. I hope you enjoyed it. It was an abject disaster. The world is laughing at you. Well, not you specifically, Zuck, because they don't know you're behind this, but we do. Kellogg Foundation. They were behind this. The Fidelity Charitable Gift Fund, all behind financing Arabella. You know, with these control oligarchs that are donating money, I've noticed a common denominator here. Gates Foundation, Ford Foundation, Buffett, Rockefeller, Hewlett, Kellogg Foundation, Zuckerberg. They're all involved in depopulation too. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that a coincidence that the people who are financing all of the riots around the world are also the ones who are financing depopulation? they love the people so much, you know, when they're not depopulating them through their vaccines or wars or everything else. But if you recall earlier this year, actually just a couple weeks ago, the Gates Foundation had to publicly cut ties with Arabella. Do you remember that? Like they said, oh, we denounce those people at Arabella with their riots and everything. Really? You gave them $456 million. What in the hell are you talking about, Gates Foundation? Oh, we don't want to be associated with them. We had no idea. We are distancing ourselves from Arabella. Good luck with that. You guys, why bother? Why bother distancing yourself? You guys are the same. I mean, it's not going to work. I know that you're part of the group, and we're going to keep screaming about it. Let's move on. Let's move on to the... I'm going to get into the No Kings specifically. No Kings 2, Electric Boogaloo. It's funny to me that they're like... But, you know, here, we're going to call it No Tyrants. Oh, No Kings. You're not going to use the No Kings thing? And why? It'd be so much funnier if you did No Kings when you had a king. You're not going to do that? That's kind of disappointing. No Tyrants, then. Fucking joke. Laughable protesting. We don't want to upset the king with our protests. Oh, you know, really. So again, who was the largest financier of No Kings 2? Arabella with $79.8 million. By the way, this, just to give credit where credit is due, this is from Peter Schweitzer, Seamus Brunner, and these guys at the Government Accountability Institute. They just went balls deep on this and said, we're going to give you all of the numbers. We're going to say, here's everything we found. Ford Foundation, $51.7 million. Tides Foundation, $45.5 million. Warren Buffett, $16.6 million. So the next time they try to pass off this, Warren Buffett's just a sweet old man who lives in Omaha in the same house he bought in the 70s and drives a Lexus, and he's just like you and me. Just please shut the fuck up about that. Warren Buffett is a bad guy. He's always been a bad guy. He's just disguised as a grandfatherly guy. But he's no saint. He spent $16.6 million just 2 weeks ago on this shit. What are we doing? He's a bad guy. Mark Benioff, $20 million. Reid Hoffman, he gave my World Economic Forum. Here we go. So the depopulation people are the same people that are giving money to No Kings. They want you dead. They want you out in the streets, angry, rioting. A grand total of $294.5 million was spent on the No Kings 2. This is the second one. Remember, the first one was, I don't know what it was. It's like a liberal boomer parade is what it is. They just want to you got to have it on a Sunday. So they do it on, they do it on the Sundays, and everyone gets out there and they walk around. Or was it on a Saturday? Maybe it was on a Saturday. Fuck, I don't even remember. Who cares? I mean, what difference does it make with the boomers? They're all sitting around. They have nothing to do anyway. They love a good parade. And of course, they're addicted to cable television. Or the cable news. And so the only people that showed up at this were liberal boomers who are watching MSNBC and CNN. The only people that showed up at the No Kings 2 rally, because it was supposed to be filled with a bunch of, I guess, non-whites. It's the whitest thing ever. It was like a mayonnaise convention there. It was embarrassing. It was heavily vaccinated. Very indoctrinated, the entire batch, easily led by the news. Rachel Maddow is their hero and everything. But it wasn't just the rainbow warriors. It was just boomers in general. Not content to squander all of the inheritance that they could have left their kids. That's never going to happen. We've got to piss this away on pickleball paddles. As I shake my fist at these people, there were rainbow flags everywhere, which is funny. Then of course, a signature component of this is the lies by the media about how big the event was. So then the media does its thing and they start saying, look at the crowds here in Boston. Look at, wow, just look at the crowds here in Boston. Everyone who ever been to Boston is going, hey, I don't know about that, pal. Them trees sure have a lot of leaves on them this time of year. They probably wouldn't. Why are the trees all green? Oh, because it was from 2017. This is footage from 2017 from, you know, in the summer. And that's why everything looks differently, because we're the mainstream media and we just can't go 5 minutes without lying to you about something. So we had to use footage that was was from an other event years ago. It's just embarrassing. And of course, then the boomers who participate in this go home after the event, fire up MSNBC, and then get told there are millions of people out here protesting. You were part of something magical. You were part of something bigger. You know, this is like, it's like a cancer walk for them. Why won't you wear the AIDS ribbon? Kramer, you got to wear the ribbon. So, I mean, it's an AIDS walk for boomers who hate Trump, but can't really identify, you know, exactly what it is. They're mad about kings. They don't want there to be any more kings in the United States. Okay, point taken. Got it. Anything else you're mad about? Because I have a list of things that you should have been concerned about when you came to the protest that isn't on your radar because you're too fucking dumb to figure it out. You're too institutionalized by the media. You haven't had an original thought about this your entire lives. You're a boomer whose entire existence is curated by the mainstream corporate press. Embarrassing. Greatest generation. At what? Following orders? Doing exactly what they're told? I don't know, man. Maybe Gen X, my generation, is going to have to save the world, because you boomers have fucked it all up for us. Really. I mean, the fact that you have no awareness of what you have done. Enjoy retirement. Meanwhile, everybody who came to the events nationwide were tracked by flock cameras. They were pinged by their cell towers. They were captured by the toll roads. They were tracked by their satellite radio in their car. Everybody knows you were at the event. You don't have to post it on Facebook. Everybody who actually matters knows you're at the event. Like the NSA, the CIA, and the DOD, and Homeland Security, and all these agencies that you've never even heard about, like the National Reconnaissance Agency, NRO, and all these groups who are spying on you while you're out there shaking your fist at the orange man for being bad. Meanwhile, they're using facial recognition to build a profile of you. They have Reaper drones doing circles above you, pulling all kinds of data. Your information is being classified, and then it's being sent to Utah, to Bluffdale, so it can go into the NSA data storage center so that it can be used at a time in the future when they feel that it is necessary. You're not doing anything, air quotes, wrong by going to these events yet. The point is, it can be retroactively used against you later, right? You could be put, you could have the Patriot Act used against you and label you as a domestic terrorist operating on the homeland, on the battlefield, on the homeland. That's terrifying, right? But I'll tell you what, these rallies that are going on where you got all these people, I hate to think like a psychopath, but that would be the perfect place to test out nano smart dust, don't you think? Just sprinkle some of that. Sprinkle some crack on him. Sprinkle a little smart dust on him. Let him go home. Spread that around. Trackable everywhere they go. Perfect place to test that out, don't you think? What about sound weapons? You ever hear of Havana syndrome? What about heat mapping? You know, those Reaper drones can match you by the way you walk. I mean, I don't think it's going to be the most accurate of matching. It doesn't really matter if it's a Reaper drone. Like, they're just going to say, yeah, good enough as they launch that missile at you. But we are undermatched, okay? And when you go to one of these events and you think that you're going to make your voice heard, let me tell you what's actually being heard is you are putting yourself at the scene of the crime. And this information may not mean anything to you now, but all of this is being fed into that data center in Utah. And at some point, it will be used, currently probably already being used, to build a digital voodoo doll of you. That's how I've been describing it. It's a digital twin, right? It's a digital version of you. They'll know you pretty well, and they could just put the pin wherever they want in order to make you do the things that they need you to do. But why wouldn't you, in a situation like a No Kings protest, be testing out experimental crowd control measures? You know, I'd be tagging and tracking everybody there. Maybe this happened at the ICE. It is not limited to the No Kings. ICE protests, whatever, you name it. Any of these things where they try to draw large numbers of people in, it's a trap. You're walking into a trap. You know, the revolution. You're going to the No Kings protest because you want a revolution. I just think it's funny that the revolution doesn't get funded with Walmart money. It just doesn't. The first No Kings, you know who paid for all that? It was the Walmart people. All right. They're just, you know, from billionaires to stop billionaires. It's embarrassing, man. So, and of course, you should know that part of like the revolution doesn't pop up nationwide like Starbucks out of nowhere with a No Kings brand. That takes a lot of money. And what were they saying? They were saying, wear yellow. They're saying, wear yellow to the event, you know, because you're a coward begging the government for permission to protest. No. Wear yellow. Do you know why? Why wear yellow? Besides making it easy to identify you, this is part of a color revolution. You know, they tried it in 2020 with the Black Lives Matter revolution, right? The Black Revolution. They're trying desperately to create the Yellow Revolution. That's why in the paperwork it says wear yellow. Wear yellow. Why would you want everybody to wear the same color? Because you're trying to create the visual representation of a color revolution. They may get there, but if you see yellow being worn at these protests from now, it's just that's the color they've decided on. You know, it was like there's the rose revolution and the tulip revolution and the orange revolution. There's different colors depending on different countries. So. But when you see that messaging, when they're saying, everybody wear yellow, you go, oh, it's a good idea. We should all be on the same team. I know what that means. I know that most of the people don't. By the way, Arabella put at least, and when I said that the Waltons funded the No Kings, the first protest, they didn't fund it all by themselves. They did put in a ton of money for it. But Arabella put in at least $114.8 million into the first No Kings event. I hope you kept the receipts on that. Let's talk about Tides Foundation. Tides Foundation, have you heard of them? They were started in 1976. It's the type of foundation structure that takes large amounts of money from some of the most dangerous foundations in the world, of which they are one. But they take money from other foundations and other wealthy people, and then they package that up and distribute it the way they see fit. So groups that they're taking money from, Ford Foundation, they're all going to be the same ones that we just talked about. Ford Foundation, Hewlett Foundation, MacArthur Foundation, Open Society Foundation, Rockefeller Brothers Fund, and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. That's Johnson & Johnson heirs. From that. And so what do? They take this money that's given to them. They're all ideologically aligned. Like there's very little separation between, in my opinion, between like the MacArthur Foundation, the Hewlett Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. I mean, they're all ideologically aligned. We want more control for us. We want all the Browns dead, and we don't want anybody to know about it. That's basically it, right? And so they take this money and they give it to charitable causes that are not actual charities, but more narrative building creations, like Climate Central, prime example. They give money to Climate Central. Oh, the climate is, we're all going to die from the climate. Good. Keep everybody focused on that and worried about carbon dioxide. We'll finance that. What else do they finance? Pointer Institute. Pointer Institute might not ring a bell for too many people unless you're somebody who's into publishing. Their Pointer Institute is definitely against free speech. They want to make sure people aren't talking about the things that would rightly get these people busted. And they also give money, the Tides Foundation, to give money to Reporters Without Borders so that they can report the news the way they want the news reported, I suppose. I don't know. Tides Foundation was behind Black Lives Matter. No surprise there. Their big push right now is to promote mass amnesty for illegals. And you go, okay, why? We want to be very nice to the illegals. Why is that? Who's financing this? Okay, well, the group that wants you to be really nice to the illegals is being financed by billionaires. Why do you think the billionaires who are also involved in eugenics, depopulation, why do you think they give a flying fuck about how the illegals are being treated? The answer is that they use them for cheap labor. And they're completely and utterly disposable, by the way. Just don't even for a second think of that the people, the illegals who are coming across the border, that in any way, shape, or form, these corporations have any love for them or respect for them or want them to be taken care of. They do not. The second they can replace these people with robots, they will. Okay, all this will go away. You know, this is the last generation of people immigrating into the United States. It's the last generation. Everybody else is going to be leaving. As soon as the robots come, you're going to see that caravan that you saw that was coming up to the U.S., when the robots are unfurled, when Amazon finally says, we're going to robots, and McDonald's says, we're going to robots, and you're going to watch a bunch of, and the people, the machines that pick strawberries or shake the fuck out of walnut trees and things like that. Bye-bye. You guys with a third grade education and no understanding of the language are not necessary anymore. You know, and the idea that we're going to keep you around so that you can vote for the next Democrat, I'm sorry, you got to go. You're going to want to go, is what I'm saying. There's not going to be anything here for you. So I get very suspicious when I have billionaires standing up for illegals. Okay, very suspicious about that. So what I see Tides Foundation as being, they're involved in like the transgender, they're financing all of that. They're leftist Bolsheviks who are trying to destroy America from within. That's where I would put the Tides Foundation. I wouldn't say that about all of them. They're leftists, but some of them are very hardcore right-leaning. But Tides Foundation, when you hear them from this point forward, hopefully it'll ring a bell. Because it might be one of those names that you read through the paragraph and it doesn't jump out at you. But now if you know a little bit of the background as to, you know, who they are, what they're into, they supported Black Lives Matter. They financed a lot of that stuff. And of course, we saw how nonsensical the messaging was and how it wasn't anchored in any sort of reality. And it was very inorganic and made to happen. That's Tides Foundation. Moving on, let's talk about the Ford Foundation. We'll wrap up with this one, actually. Ford Foundation started in 1936. This isn't... Essentially, what they're doing... They're a CIA cutout to funnel money for operations worldwide. Now, they were started before the CIA was started, of course, but as it exist now. And it was started in 36. And the reason why it was, we got to get money, you know, into Europe and finance all these things, to create the pretext for this World War II that's going to break out. Right. So Ford Foundation, by the way, if you know anything about Henry Ford, he was on the side of the Germans, and he was not down with the Israelis, let's put it that way. Not even a little bit. He had some thoughts. Old Henry Ford had some thoughts about Jewish influence in America. And so part of the reason why the Ford Foundation comes out is that, you know, they want to keep their white brothers in power. You know what I mean? People talk about, oh, white nationalism and white supremacy and all this stuff. And it's like, oh, the KKK, they're out here. No. All that stuff is like the retail version of white supremacy doesn't even exist. When you get into the foundational level, that's where it's really there. I'd be fine. I could walk into the Ford Foundation board of directors meeting and everyone would probably continue talking about the darkies in my presence. But you know, this is one of these groups where they're going to be around for a long time. These foundations, the Ford Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, whenever wealthy people start these foundations, they're tax shelters, but also they're ideologically driven too. So whatever the founder was kind of into, if he was into depopulation and, you know, we got to get rid of the Browns, then the foundation tends to follow. And the Ford Foundation has been sponsors of all kinds of things. Of course, again, just CIA connected. You might as well just, if there's a board of directors at Ford Foundation, the CIA would have a seat, you know, so whatever. We can take that for what it's worth. They have sponsored ClimateWorks. They sponsor Population Council. Ding, ding, ding. The ACLU gets money from Ford Foundation. Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, all these do-gooder global charities that are out there saving the children. I have bad news for you. They're all fronts for intelligence. They're not saving anybody, okay? Amnesty International is a CIA front company, okay? Obama Foundation, they were given money. Ford Foundation gave money to, I'm continuing my list of all the groups that the Ford Foundation has financed. The Obama Foundation, to build that masterpiece in Chicago. Have you seen this architectural wonder that's taking shape in the suburbs of Chicago? Oh, brace yourself. It's going to be talked about for a while, this building. Not in the way they hoped it would, though. It's the ugliest building I've ever seen, to just spare you the suspense there. It is quite literally the ugliest building I have ever seen. It's quite something. Go check it out for yourself. Ford Foundation has given money to the Aspen Institute, Black Lives Matter, Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. Remember Democracy Now? Remember when she had, you know, that was 7 countries in 5 years. Wesley Clark laid that out on her program, Democracy Now. You know where Democracy Now gets their money from? Ford Foundation. Just so you know. Partners in Health. Tides Foundation. It's a big circle jerk. They're all giving money to each other too. So like the Tide Foundation is taking money from the Ford Foundation. When you get to the Ford Foundation and you see who they're sponsors of the Tide Foundation. it's all circular. It's all going around in circles. PolitiFact. You heard of PolitiFact? PolitiFact would not exist without the Ford Foundation. Just so you know. Center for American Progress. This is a hardcore. It's funny because like Ford Foundation's giving money to Black Lives Matter, hard left. Center for American Progress. Hard right. They'll give money to anybody. They give money to Harvard. Harvard's is leftist paradise where you can send your kids for the low price of $100,000 a year to become Marxists in just 4 years. Of course, they have a degree too that will qualify them to sweep the floors at Starbucks. And last but not least on this list of groups that Ford Foundation gives money to, the Atlantic Institute. So this is Ford Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, Carnegie Foundation. These are all groups that have worked with the CIA to manage the counter movements. Right. Best way to have a revolution is to lead it yourself. So these are the groups behind it. So again, like if the No Kings protests were just a bunch of intrepid activists out there who had finally had enough and were really good at social media organizing, and they threw together this big party and everybody turned out and it was really organic and it was a big thing, that'd be one thing. But that's not what happened. Right, none of this is organic. You aren't protesting against kings or fighting for your freedom. You're being used by billionaires. These events are boomer honeypots. Stay away so that Unit 8200 doesn't scoop up your cell phone data. We have enough going on. Don't go walking into traps. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. Do me a favor. Go down and rate the show real fast. Give me 5 stars. Macroaggressions.io is the place to find me. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you again soon.